Welcome back, everyone. In this episode, we will continue our discussion on embracing complexity and sustainability together with Ulrike Pisiotis, one of the authors of the GreenCom framework and policy officer at the European Commission. Following the previous episode, considering this competence area as a whole, I would like now to discuss it in more in detail. In particular, you highlighted before the interlinks between human and nature. And therefore, I will be interested in knowing more about what system thinking and problem framework entail. So my question to you are actually, what do they entail and how and why are they connected and but at the same time distinguished into separate competencies?
Okay, thank you. Challenging question, connected and separate. Let me perhaps start with a very concrete example. I don't know if you are tea drinkers, occasional or regular ones, but I'm sure you all have had your cup of tea at some point. And I remember seeing somewhere this great example, which was like a mind map of the tea bag and what all goes into producing that little tea bag that we put in our teacup in the morning or whenever. So, I mean, usually you don't think about it. You just take it out. You buy it at some point in the supermarket. You take it out of the package and you put it in your cup and you enjoy your tea, hopefully. So this was really interesting because then you start thinking, where does that tea come from? Probably, perhaps from India. So then you can go off even more. What are the working conditions there? Are they fair? Also, what is perhaps the effect of these conditions on the health of the worker? What is the climatic and environmental impact of growing these tea plants? Is it a monoculture? Do they have to use chemicals? What is the water usage? How is the tea being treated after it's being collected? Then, of course, it needs to be transported to other parts of the world. It is packaged. Now, if you are English and you put milk in your tea, that adds a whole nother dimension about animal treatment and health and the climate impact of cows, etc. So you see, you can just with this very small example, you can basically draw a whole system. And this is in a way there are different systems. And let me just look at my notes. So this was one of a single product. And then, sorry, I can't find them now. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That there are other, of course, systems that you can have. Like a system can also be a city, a region, or a country. So it's and thinking it in this kind of ways when we think about learning and when we want to approach this kind of learning in school, what we really need more is project-based learning, cross-curricular learning seems the logical way to implement this kind of this systems thinking. But this is happening still very little because we have structures in formal education that we have a subject focus. Of course, we also have teacher preparedness or not. And usually for systems thinking, it's not there. But actually, when you want to implement this kind of teaching and thinking, you also have to think about the teacher differently, because it's not necessarily the omniscient person, not necessarily the expert. Of course, the teacher will always stay the subject expert, but if you really take this seriously, you have to also accept knowledge and input from other experts, because otherwise you wouldn't arrive at systems thinking. And also students, of course, can be experts. But unfortunately, in usually very, you know, crowded curricula, crowded school days, if we only talk about the small sliver of formal school education here, that this is really difficult actually to implement. But to have an awareness of what systems can be and of how they function is really crucial to make sustainable decisions. And I also want to give you two really specific examples of typical features that systems can be and that basically everybody should have heard about. But I think that are still, not so familiar. One is the rebound effect, or the take back effect, which is a systemic behavior that occurs when a change has been made to the system. So, for instance, to improve its efficiency, and then we have an unpredicted counter behavior, something that backfires or spins the system out of control. Now, this sounds a little bit theoretical. So to give you a concrete example, for example, if a specific car was introduced which has environmental benefits, or which has lower fuel consumption or is electric, even then a rebound effect can occur if users then use these cars more because they feel less guilty because now they are driving environmentally friendly cars, as opposed to before. But then actually the usage of these cars starts growing and growing, resulting in the end in a negative effect on the environment. And the other component or effect that I wanted to mention are exponential effects, which of course we have all heard about them at some point, probably in mathematics, and that's really one of the elementary mechanics of complex systems, that they have exponential effects. And that of course occurs when one parameter in a system influences various other parameters in that systems, and then in turn they multiply, they cause the system to respond with exponential change, and that is actually a basic fact of life. So most biological organisms, they grow exponentially before they plateau at some point. Environmental impacts such as melting of ice has exponential effects on the climate. So they are actually to be expected everywhere. However, mostly people feel about system behavior, or their feelings about that system behavior is based on linear relationships. So we like to think in linear ways. So, and the result of that is our predictions and then our intuition about how complex system reacts, they often really miss what actually happens in a system. So we expect linear effects, but in fact they are exponential. And there are other components, and I will find my notes and I can pop them in the chat afterwards as well. And then just to your second part of the question, or your second question on problem framing. So this is another competence of this competence area. You might ask yourself, why didn't we say problem solving? Because this is what you hear also a lot. And actually, to be honest, first in the first draft of the framework, this was in fact problem solving. But again, we thought, and not only we, but also discussion with sustainability experts around that led to the impression that this goes again too much into a linear kind of thinking, like problem solving means, okay, there has to be one solution. So whereas problem framing, of course, it's also about finding solutions, but you know, also about keeping an open mind. And it's about asking the right question. And you probably have that experience yourself. If you ask the right question, then solutions are somehow produced in the process. And of course, and here is how these are linked. You know, asking the right question and problem framing as such involves systems thinking, because you need to approach a problem from many angles. And again, I want to draw your attention to a nice picture illustration that we have in the framework of the different kinds of problems that there are. So if you don't have it in front of you, there are straightforward problems. Problem is well defined and clear, and an example would be like a broken arm or a broken leg. You know what the problem is, you know what the solution is. Then there are something that are called formidable problems. So like really big problems, but still you would have an idea how to approach those problems. And then problems that are more unclear, more undefinable, we still have some that are still in a way manageable. And then we have the wicked, so-called wicked problems. And this is the category which or where sustainability is in. So, and here it says that these problems can, they cannot be tamed or solved. They must be danced with or coped with. But of course, we also have to deal with the wicked problems. It doesn't mean that, you know, we can just ignore them because whatever, they are too difficult for us to actually solve. We of course have to address those problems. And what we need to do and what we do in problem framing is that we have to identify steps that should be taken, actors that should be involved to at least mitigate those problems, also perhaps to be aware of trade-offs that can happen if we implement certain solutions, and also in a way to accept that perhaps there is no 100% positive solution. So whatever we do, there might be a trade-off, and also that we might to have that we might have to adapt solutions that we find now over time because conditions change.
Thank you, Rike. It was extremely interesting what you just mentioned, both about system thinking and about problem framing. To be honest, I read the, as I mentioned before, I read the report and I was looking at the specific table that Frederick kindly just shared and you explained. And I was with your explanation to me, it was a bit clearer, the general idea of the table. So thank you so much for this explanation.
A community member would like to raise that all these competencies are now key in teaching environments, and teachers, there is kind of a teacher obligation towards teachers to teach green competencies. But at the same time, she also underlines that there is a need to train teachers to actually move forward from talking about these competencies to being able to teach them. Furthermore, she wonders how can teenagers develop these competencies, especially with a special thinking about system thinking. She is wondering whether aren't they like too complex to learn for such a young age. Could you answer to these doubts coming from this community member, Ulrike?
Thank you very much. First of all, I'm really glad to hear that you are using the framework and that there is a will there to have these competences integrated in teacher training. That is really, really great. And yes, I'm saying it's not easy. And systems thinking is probably one of the more difficult competences in the framework or this whole area of complexity and sustainability. This whole competence area is, I would say more difficult than others. And I had a very good resource that I wanted to include, but when I looked it up yesterday online, there is a book that was created for teachers called 10 Steps to Systems Thinking, something like that. I will put the actual the resource. I can put it in the chat, but as I said yesterday, I wanted to also because it was online, and yesterday I somehow didn't find it anymore, but I will look that up. So I think it's possible. That's also why I chose that. I think simple example of the tea bag, because this is something that I can imagine, or it can be something else that children, even small children, they can already come up, you know, if you design it well, they can already come up with ways of thinking, or a toy, you know, where did it come from before we bought it in the shop, for example, or where does it go to, like, is it thrown away? There you have the problem of waste or something like that. So I think you can do that even with small children, but of course teachers themselves, they need to be first confident. They need to, yeah, have knowledge, have that, and then also to be confident to teach that. So that's not something that will happen from yesterday to today, or it's of course a process, and I do yes, acknowledge very much that specifically this area and then this competence of systems thinking is not something that you can easily wrap your head around. I mean, it's been an theory in economics and in other sciences, and I mean really, really bright people have talked about it, and it's still sort of, you know, contested in some way. So it's not just something that you pick up in a couple of days. But at the same time, as I said, I think, and I would really encourage that it can even be fun, I think, yeah, with even small children already, to sort of approach something in this kind of way and to explore. And I think you will probably even be surprised what ideas children also develop, or perhaps what questions they might not have the answer, but, you know, questions that you can then further explore. But then again, and maybe that's my question to you, do you also get the conditions, the structure then to, for example, I don't know, plan something together with a colleague, so a colleague from a really different subject that you could develop something together? Because that is usually what teachers, when we talk to teachers, what they tell us is that what they are missing is, yes, the time to actually do that, the time to, yeah, collaborate more also with other colleagues. So if you also then have this and also can work together and collaborate with colleagues already in preparation, and, you know, help each other, I think that's also that would be great. I don't have all the answers, but I find it wonderful that you are trying.
Thank you both.
I agree with all of you. Everything can be taught in different ways, but the most important thing is trying and using the framework as much as possible. And so I see another community member is sharing with us that there are many online tools to develop system thinking, such as talk flow diagrams and system models that help understanding the systems. So she is sharing that you can make them as easy as you want, depending on your level. And they can also, they are also interesting because they create feedback loops when you start a flow that, in a way, this also helps visualizing what is happens in a system. I personally have also experience with similar tools when having a training on the SDGs. So in this case, during this experience, the trainer suggested us to, as learners, to train ourselves as much as possible, and they suggested that games would be a really good way or tool to use, especially those that are, like, in a way called the play, like role plays. So in these games, it's important because they understand how your choice influences the system. So they are not specifically focused on developing system for, thinking, but in the end, you develop such a competence. I particularly remember one where so you could decide, starting from being a citizen or a mayor or politician and so on, and then you play this game, and the choice that you made influenced the rest of the system. So I think this is also very important to bear in mind, that using this kind of tools or like playful tools are also important to consider. So thank you all. This was all for this episode. So I would like to thank you all for your contributions, and a special thank to you, Enrique. And also thank you all for indulging for listening to this episode on this series on learning together. And watch the other episodes and check the digital version on education for climate, especially in the GreenCom community, for further insights. So thank you again, and bye-bye.